Even though we have been, for the past 2 weeks in our journey through the Lord's Prayer, considering this phrase, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," before moving on in the prayer, I thought it might be interesting, and I guess you can tell me afterwards if I might be wrong, interesting to stop at this point, because to consider this petition in the Lord's Prayer, which is the one that, depending on what church you are praying it in and what denomination, might be prayed with different words. Debts, sins, or trespasses. We say debts, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you go to some churches, and it's also a more sort of modern ecumenical version of the Lord's Prayer uses the word sins. In fact, if you look in the front of our hymnal where it lists the creeds and then the Lord's Prayer, you'll notice our Presbyterian hymnal lists two versions of the Lord's Prayer. One traditional, they call it, using debts. One they call ecumenical, using sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then there are churches like the Methodist Church, I know for sure, and others that talk about trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So I thought it might be interesting to talk about maybe why there are these different versions, particularly focusing on the language in the Bible, and then maybe offer some insight into why it's kind of fun that we have three different versions of this petition, because they each might give us a slightly different insight into what it is God forgives us of and what we are to forgive others for. I'll try to do that within the space of a couple hours. We've already talked about debts. The last 2 weeks I've been talking about debts and debtors. Let me just say a quick word about that version, the one that I suspect most of us, if you've been around particularly Presbyterian churches, are most familiar with and comfortable with. This Greek word, and you notice Matthew uses the word debts in his telling of the Lord, of Jesus giving the Lord's Prayer. This Greek word for debt is, and as I always say when I try to tell you anything about Greek, remember, I learned Greek to read it. I didn't learn it to speak it. So if any of you know Greek, I just ask your forgiveness for my butchering of the Greek pronunciation. It's a word, ophiliomata, which means a financial burden or obligation. It's used quite rarely in Scripture, and when it is, it's used to denote usually a financial debt or obligation. But I think I mentioned 2 weeks ago when we started talking about debts, this Greek word is also used beyond the Bible by ancient Greek writers, like the historian Thucydides, who uses it to talk about repayment of kindness. And Plato uses it to talk about the debt that children, he believes, owe their parents. So this word, although it tends to be focused on the financial, as I tried to mention 2 weeks ago, has wider meaning. But it always means, in essence, an obligation to someone else. And I've talked about that in the last 2 weeks, the obligations that we owe others and God, and the way we might feel others are obligated to us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's the word Matthew uses. This is the word debt that was picked up by John Wycliffe in the 15th century as he was translating the Bible. And the Protestants in the Reformation picked up on this word debts generally. Now Luke's Gospel gives us a slightly different version of the Lord's Prayer. Did you notice? In Luke's Gospel, Jesus teaches it by saying, "Forgive us our sins." He then goes on to talk about being indebted, but for this part, he talks about sins, not debts. Now, this is a different Greek word, amartia, which is a Greek word, in my limited understanding, that really grows out of archery. It means literally to miss the mark, Like when you're shooting an arrow at a target, you intend to hit the target, you miss it, that's amartia. And it became more and more a general word for sin. Sin as missing the mark. We're really talking here about expectations. God's expectations for us. And God sets the standards pretty high. And we usually, if not always, miss the mark. We might try. We may be trying to hit that target, to be good and perfect, and we fall short. And this Greek word became sort of the general word for sin, missing the mark. But isn't it interesting? It's along the same lines as an obligation, particularly an obligation we're unable to pay, a target we're unable to hit. And yet it gives a slightly different picture. It's not financial. It's really in terms of us trying and falling short. And God forgives us every time we fall short, and we are to forgive others when they fall short of our expectations as well. Now, so we've got two gospel writers using two different Greek words. Why is that? Well, let me remind you, Jesus probably was not speaking Greek. He was speaking probably Aramaic. So already the gospel writers are translating from what Jesus said into Greek. And in my reading, it sounds like the Aramaic word, and again, my Aramaic is even worse than my Greek. The Aramaic word that was probably said here is hoba, which is the Aramaic word for sin, but it also can mean debt. So the upshot of this is Matthew and Luke are both looking at the same Aramaic word as translators and putting it into writing. Matthew thought ophiliamata, debt, better relayed the sense of the Aramaic. Luke thought amartia, sin, better relayed it. But both are appropriate translations of this Aramaic word. Both work, sins or debts. I grew up watching Sesame Street. And on Sesame Street, they always had a little song, I remember. They'd talk about, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. You know, and it went on. I won't continue singing it for you. Well, now we get to trespasses. Trespasses is the one that doesn't quite belong. It doesn't grow naturally out of this Aramaic word that Jesus used. Trespasses comes into the Lord's Prayer because of a man named William Tyndale, 16th century biblical translator. And Tyndale puts in the word trespasses. Why? Well, there's a couple possibilities. One is, do you notice in Matthew's gospel, after Jesus gives us the text of the Lord's Prayer, he then talks about trespasses? Did you notice that? It's not in the Lord's Prayer. It's sort of an analysis of the Lord's Prayer, a commentary on it, perhaps. Forgive those who trespass against you, and your Father in heaven will forgive you. And if you don't forgive the sins of others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your trespasses. And Tyndale, for whatever reason, thought, oh, let's just put trespasses in the prayer. Now, this Greek word for trespasses is also kind of interesting. It's paramptomata. Again, I know I'm pronouncing as if it were an heirloom tomato variety, I realize. But paramptomata, the Greek word used here in Matthew that Tyndale sort of puts into the prayer, means a blunder or a false step. And so think about the word trespasses here. We usually see it on signs, no trespassing, which means, in essence, don't come in here. Don't walk here. If you walk here, it's a false step. It's a mistake, a blunder. And so even though the word trespasses is not in the original gospel tellings of the Lord's Prayer, it kind of works. I think it gives an interesting perspective, again, on sin and what we are forgiven and what we are to forgive others. False steps, mistakes. You know, as we go along our journey with God, God has a path in mind, and we often step off that path. A false step, a mistake. And God forgives us when we stray off that path, when we trespass, when we go perhaps where we shouldn't go. God forgives that. And so we are encouraged to forgive the trespasses of others, those who maybe invade our space. If one more person comes through that door today, I'm going to scream. And then here they come. And we forgive them. Or do something, make a mistake, a blunder, a false step in our lives. We are to forgive them. So trespasses works, even though it's not really an accurate translation of the word Jesus might have used, but it works. Now, one more word about why Tyndale might have tried to find another word here. I alluded to this in terms of debts earlier. To talk about forgiving debts is kind of a dangerous thing. Even back in the time of William Tyndale, the world's, at least Western economies, were already based on debt and credit. And all those people making a lot of money from debt and credit might have been a little nervous about being taught that Jesus told us to pray about the forgiveness of debts. I mean, you really start forgiving people their debts, your economy may be in trouble, particularly those at the top of the economy. Which is why it's interesting that we Presbyterians still pray about debts, I think. We frozen chosen are praying this dangerous prayer. It's kind of dangerous. So Tyndale may have had reason to say, I'm going to find a word other than debt to put in here. So we've got these three different versions. Oh, by the way, Tyndale was English, and after he did his translation of the Bible, the word trespasses then was transferred into the Book of Common Prayer of the Anglican Church, and that's probably where also John Wesley picked it up, which is why Methodists tend to still use trespasses, in case you're interested. I guess if you're not interested, you've probably been asleep for a while. So anyway, we've got these three different words. Here's what I would encourage you to do, because I think each word, debts, sins, or trespasses, with its slightly different perspective, might hit each of us in a slightly different way. I don't know if you've discovered this over the years. As you read different translations of the Bible, or even the same translation, it hits you differently at different times of your life. So this week, I would encourage you to step outside your linguistic comfort zone in the Lord's Prayer. And if you're used to always praying debts, to try using sins and or trespasses this week and see if it hits you in a different way. It might reveal something interesting in your journey this week. Debts may have lost its resonance for you, but thinking about trespasses or sins, both that you do and that God's forgiving you of and that others may be doing to you, might give you some new insight. If nothing else, it'll be fun, won't it? Use some different words. So, debts, sins, trespasses. Isn't it interesting that even a prayer that Jesus taught us, we can't get right. We have different versions of. Maybe there's a little humility that we should learn from this as well. Anyway, having said all of that, we'll get off of this boring linguistic stuff, and next week we jump right into temptation. So hope to see you then.